Grace be unto you and mercy and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for today is written in the book of Ruth. But before I turn to that, I'll just ask you to reflect for a moment upon what we've just sung. In this hymn, we first of all are called upon to praise the Lord, the everlasting King. And then it recognizes the human condition, that we are in distress and that we trust in the Lord to not always chide, not always let us suffer, but also to bless us. And he does hear our prayers. Nevertheless, as it says in verse 4, frail as summer's flower we flourish, blows the wind and it is gone. But while mortals rise and perish, God endures unchanging on. So the fact is, our lives are really very short. And we don't last so long. We are going to be reading today about somebody who lived 3,000 years ago. And how many lives have come and gone since then, and yet God remains enduring on. And that eternity and that eternal power of his remains, so that we now honor him with, as we often say, with all the saints in heaven, as well as all the angels, including people like Ruth, who honor the Lord before his throne today. So with that little bit of perspective, we turn to our text for today, which is the book of Ruth, beginning at the beginning of the book, Ruth chapter 1, verse 1 through 16. And let us rise to hear this reading of our Lord's word. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land, and a man of Bethlehem in Judah went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. The name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem in Judah. They went into the country of Moab and remained there. But Elimelech, the husband of Naomi, died, and she was left with her two sons. These took Moabite wives. The name of the one was Orpah, and the name of the other, Ruth. They lived there about 10 years, and both Mahlon and Chilion died, so that the woman was left without her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law to return from the country of Moab, for she'd heard in the fields of Moab that the Lord had visited his people and given them food. So she set out from the place where she was with her two daughters-in-law, and they went on the way to return to the land of Judah. But Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go, return each of you to her mother's house. May the Lord deal kindly with you as you have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant that you may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband." Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voices and wept. And they said to her, "No, we will return with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Have I yet sons in my womb that they may become your husbands? Turn back, my daughters. Go your way, for I am too old to have a husband. If I say I have hope, even if I should have a husband this night and should bear sons, would you therefore wait till they were grown? Would you therefore refrain from marrying? No, my daughters, for it is exceedingly bitter to me, for your sake, that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then they lifted up their voices and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clung to her. And she said, "See, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law." But Ruth said, "Do not urge me to leave you, or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go, and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also, if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. These are the words of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are the truth. Sanctify us through your truth. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed in Christ Jesus, the book of the Judges ends. In those days, Israel had no king. Everyone did as he saw fit. And that's after an account of a really gross and unnatural civil war. But then as now, the devout and the gracious and the believing lived alongside the unbelieving and the vicious. And so the Holy Spirit impelled someone to record this account of Ruth and Naomi, two devout and gracious and believing people. It tells us of Elimelech and Naomi moving to Moab with their two sons because of a famine. Elimelech dies, the boys grow up and marry, and then they die. And this leaves three widows. Remember what I talked about, what we sang about a minute ago, how it is that, you know, distress enters life. And then, of course, there's the touching affection of Orpah and Ruth for Naomi. And Naomi must have been, you know, kind of a lovable person. You notice when she came back to Bethlehem, if you read the whole book, everyone's just thrilled to see her, even though it's been like 10 years that she, and they just want the best for Naomi. We're shown the bitter sorrow of a mother burying her sons. But in the midst of all this, we're also shown God's gift of life to a dying world. Yeah, this is kind of a tragic story to read on Mother's Day, no question. But a tragedy that's tempered by the assurance of faith and eternal life for this woman's sons. And as it turns out, for Ruth and for her children as well. The book itself records that eventually Ruth became a mom. In fact, she became the great-grandmother of King David. She became the ancestor of Jesus himself. We read in chapter 4, "So Boaz took Ruth, and she became his wife, and she bore a son. Then the women said to Naomi, 'Blessed be the Lord who has not left you this day without a redeemer, and may his name be renowned in Israel.' And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, 'A son has been born to Naomi.' They named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David." And yes, I know that Obed was actually born to Ruth, but it was such a blessing to Naomi that they referred to it as being born to her. So much comes together right at this one point. We see, first of all, the providence of God bringing about his kingdom, even in the midst of this human story of death and dying. People came to faith. People came to know and believe the promises of God. On a very individual basis, these poor widows were taken care of. We also see, and this is, I think, very interesting, that God impelled, that's what Peter says, holy men of God spoke as they were impelled by the Holy Spirit. God impelled the writing of this story and the preservation of this story, seemingly of just pretty trivial importance. But he saw that it was preserved for 1,000 years until the time when the real significance of the story became clear. We find that the ancestress of Jesus Christ is none other than this Ruth. And don't forget, there's a conversion of Ruth herself. God placed the people of Israel where he did so that they could be a witness to the world. And Ruth was just one of who knows how many countless souls who benefited. And she came to a knowledge of and faith in the one true God. And not only, and this is incredible as well, not only does she hear and believe the promise of the coming Savior, but without knowing it, Ruth is herself one step, one instrument of the prophecy and of the promise that the Messiah would be the descendant of Judah. For she married into the family of Boaz of Judah. By the word of promise that she'd heard from her own husband and from Naomi, Ruth participates also, you know, by marriage into the nation of Israel, but by faith, she participates in the same family of faith as Abraham did, and as David did, and as the disciples did, and as you and I do. That's a remarkable connection. It's as Isaiah promised, or prophesied in Isaiah 59. So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun, for he will come like a rushing stream which the wind of the Lord drives. As Jesus said in Matthew 8, I tell you, many will come from the east and the west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. And this connects us to this story because, like Ruth, our ancestors were pagans. Our ancestors did not come from believing stock, so to speak. Nobody did. But our ancestors were brought into the household of faith, and so they have brought that faith to each of us as well. So every element that we've talked about so far reveals one or another aspect of God bringing life to this dying world. What a wonderful thing. This pagan from Moab comes to know the promise of forgiveness, reconciliation, and eternal life because God planted his people in this place. And most of us descended from pagans as well have come to know Jesus Christ as our Savior and trust in him and in life and in death. What's the common thread? Well, certainly it's the promise that Ruth came to know, the promise of a Savior to come. And we know the fulfillment of that promise. But both in Ruth's case and in our case, the other common thread is the Comforter, the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit is the creator of faith. Nobody can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Spirit, Paul writes to the Romans. So he is the creator of faith. He's the giver of spiritual life itself, even though he uses people. He uses moms and grandmas and friends and dads and uncles and brothers as well to share the gospel in all of its sweetness and in all of its converting power. That's the same Holy Spirit that brought Ruth to faith, that brings us to faith. It's the same Holy Spirit that inspired this little vignette of Ruth's life and established it in the canon of Scripture for 1,000 years before its importance would be clearly understood. It's this same Holy Spirit who appeared in a special manifestation at Pentecost, as we'll consider next week. And it's the same Holy Spirit who calls you and me to faith through the gospel and keeps us in the faith and preserves us unto everlasting life. You see, Ruth, the book of Ruth, shares with us that whole human story of life and disappointment and age and death and dying. And in the midst of all that, she shares with us the same faith in the true and living God and in the hope that we have in his promises, even while she is in fact part of that promise coming true itself. She's used by God to give humanity to the incarnate Christ. Here in this little picture, we see how Christian moms and grandmas, like Naomi, play an important part, an important role for their children. The respect that they have for their husband mirrors the church's love for Christ. And the unconditional love of mom for child serves as a model of the unconditional love that Christ has for us on account of his atoning work. Like us, Ruth and Naomi didn't live in a safe world, did they? Especially so in their case, because, you know, widows without men to watch over them were really, you know, really vulnerable in that day and age. Poverty and sorrow were part of their lives, and we'd have to say we don't live in such a safe world either. What's the hymn say? Danger and sorrow stand round me on every hand. That's the way it is in this life. Heaven is my fatherland. Heaven is my home. So whether the danger in our day and age is from people forsaking the church, or from economic troubles, or cancer, or heart disease, or old age, or a traffic accident, we face the troubles of life just like Ruth and Naomi did. And just like Ruth and Naomi, we're also part of a larger picture. The Lord of the universe himself guided these events to make sure that his son was born into this world. The Lord of the universe himself is intent upon your salvation. And he worked through history. Scripture tells us he began even before history to accomplish our salvation and arrange events so that he could come to us in the waters of baptism, in the gospel, and in his holy supper. Just as he used the means of a pagan convert to bring Christ into this world, he uses means also. He uses the instrument of his word and sacrament to bring Christ to each and every one of us. The fact is that we do live in a dying world because, well, death follows sin. But with faith comes forgiveness, reconciliation with God, and therefore with faith also comes life. Like Ruth, you and I stand forgiven. We stand as heirs of everlasting life. Instead of being destined for death as she was, as we were, by God's grace through faith, we now stand destined for life. This is what Ruth discovered. These words of Ruth that are in our text, we've heard many times, often at weddings. And I think because of that, some people think that Ruth spoke them to her husband. No, they were to her mother-in-law. And that I always think is very interesting. Unfortunately, moms-in-law are the butts of many jokes. And as I say, truly sad to say. But these words express a greater perspective because they express the perspective of Ruth of someone who has found life. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you, she said. For where you go, I will go. and where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, if anything but death parts me from you." Because she'd found in Naomi these words of life. She who had seen death now knew that there was life and beyond life. May God grant us faithful hearts to believe. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord Jesus, as with your Holy Spirit you once brought faith to your ancestress Ruth, so that she became one of your chosen believers, so keep us in the confession of the true faith and in the faithful hearing of your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, as your disciples once gathered together in anticipation of your promise, so are we gathered today that we may see your face, wear your name by baptism and faith, and believe your word without fear. When our risen and ascended Lord returns in his glory, bring to completion that which you have begun in us. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, as your Son prayed for his church, so do we pray for unity of faith, for bold witness, and for those who will believe through your word. Give us peace among the nations and the freedom to hear your call and serve you without constraint. Bless all governments and leaders that they may promote justice, freedom, and so that your word may have free course in the earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, as you ordered all things, you gave to us those who would show us a mother's love. Bless all women with child, all mothers as they care for child and home, and all children to love and honor them according to your own command. Make all homes to be places of blessing where your name is honored and your people learn to know you and love you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, as you bore all the burdens of our mortal flesh in your Son, give to the sick, the hospitalized, the recuperating, those suffering chronic ills, and all other people in their afflictions, your healing and peace. Today we especially commend into your hands those suffering from the fires in Canada. Teach all of us to look upon you with a repentant heart, lest worse judgment fall upon us. Lead all people to repentance and confidence in your unfailing love. Keep them steadfast in trouble and comfort them, that they may endure to eternal life and perfect healing in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, as you have provided, your Son has set his table among us, before our enemies, to feed us his flesh for the life of the world and his blood that cleanses us from all sin. Help us that we now receive with our lips, help us that what we now receive with our lips we may keep with holy lives in anticipation of the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which knows no end. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, risen, ascended, and glorified, to you we give thanks for the promise of resurrection to your departed. Bring us to share with them the unending joys of our final home. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. O Lord, as you have promised, hear your people as they pray. Grant them the comfort of your presence and the gift of your Spirit, that they may walk and in love and live in hope, both now and forevermore. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you. Amen.